Joey Rodriguez is going to be our speaker this morning. And he asked me to read, or asked us to look at, 1 Corinthians 13. And we did not know that the children were actually going to be reciting verses about love and also this passage. And this morning, too, I would like us all to read this passage together. Sometimes when we read things together, it may sink in a little further than when you just hear it. So let us together, we're only doing four verses, but at the end, the next verse begins with, "Love never fails." So I want us to read this and then say, "Love never fails" in unison. Let's together. "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Joey, come and Joey, take time to tell us a little bit about yourself. I didn't ask you for personal, your whole personal life, but share what you like. He used to be called the Open Door Ministries.
Open Door Youth Center.
The Open Door Youth Center, and he can explain now what the name is and what they do. Blessings.
Thanks, Chris. Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of God, huh? Well, as Chris mentioned, my name's Joey Rodriguez. And I've been living in the Lancaster area, I think, now for like 8 years. And the Lord brought me here from New York. No offense, but kicking and screaming. The idea of cows being across the street was really scary. I actually remember the first week I stood in my uncle and aunt's house. I actually called up a couple of buddies. I don't know what to do. There's live stock. There's live animals right across the street. Can they see me? Is it safe to go outside? Yeah, I'm a city boy. You know, I just didn't understand these things. I'm still getting used to these things. The first summer I spent out here, I would stop down our local Amish neighbors, Amish, however you're supposed to say it, and ask for rides on their buggy. And I've gotten on their scooter and just realized such a simple life. You know, in the city, things go so fast. You grow up so fast. You're thrusted into a world full of information, full of things that youth should not be thrusted into. So I had a very hard childhood. And when thrusted into ministry, it all made sense. You know, but for 33 years, it didn't make sense. And so today, we are called Community Central. And I've been there for 5 years. And we've just changed the vision. And it's not a change as you would like a redirection or anything. It's just a more an expansion of the original vision. And the expansion of the original vision was just to have a place, a safe place for youth to come and be able to hear the gospel and give some people in the local area a rest of having too many youth around. Who wants to say amen to that? Because I like my peace and quiet when I'm home, and I love the idea that there's places for youth to go so that way they're not loitering on the streets, and that's where Open Door Youth Center comes in. And so now, through the last 5 years, the Lord has done things at Open Door Youth Center that has showed us that we are reaching a lot more than youth. And we have children coming in, we have youth coming in saying, "Hey, I want my mom, I want my dad to come and hear what the Lord's saying here. I want my uncle, my aunt, my big brother, my older brother to come and hear what the Lord's doing." Because what's nice about Open Door Youth Center is that it doesn't look like a church. And if you've ever grown up outside the church, you would know how awkward the church can look from outside. Don't get me wrong. I wish it wasn't so. I don't agree with that. The church is a great place to be. It's for the fellowship of the believers. But when you're not exposed to that, it's a hard place to go to. So Open Door Youth Center youth are realizing, like, this is a place where my mom won't feel like it's church, and she can get some of that gospel that's being presented here. And when we started asking adults, well, what's the limitation? What's the limitation from you coming? Well, it's for kids. It's a youth center. Well, what if we had a different name? And when I started presenting the idea of Community Central, all of a sudden I had a different response from parents saying, yeah, that's a place that sounds like you guys have something there for me. And so it just makes sense. It makes sense to expand the vision. And so our grand opening will be September 17th, and we are in the side of Zion Lutheran Church. They have a big space, and we'll be using that space until the Lord provides a bigger space. And our idea and our vision and our hopes is that members in the community will come, and we will build and structure programs around that. That we will find out first their needs. We'll let them shape it, because it's their community. We don't want to shape it for them. So maybe there's some guys who would love the opportunity to learn how to change their oil and save some money or fix some brake pads. And under the disguise of a Saturday over a couple of burgers and teaching a couple of guys how to change their brake pads, we can present the gospel. Maybe there's some single moms out there who have never been taught how to sew. And through the disguise of a sewing machine, we can present the gospel to single mothers. And so that's our hope, and the list can go on and on. We obviously cater to people who are not so connected to the body of Christ. And our hopes is that churches come alongside Community Central, so that way Community Central becomes like the launching pad. And our churches that are supporting us are like the yellow pages. Because I know each church has their own strengths. Some churches have great strong youth ministries. Other churches have great strong marriage ministries. Other churches have great strong addiction ministries. And that should be our yellow pages. Where when they come to us and we know that we already hit the wall, we already hit our limitations and what we can provide, that it's about the body of Christ. And if we need to send them somewhere else, because that's what's more important. It's not holding on to them, but sending them to where they can get more help, where they can continue to grow. And that's our hopes. So that's it in a nutshell about what I'm doing, where I've come from. I mean, I think we could spend a lot more time where I've come from and my testimony. But unfortunately, we don't have time for that today, and I only have 20 minutes of your time. I already just ate up a few minutes. You know, this weekend I went on a retreat, and I'm not usually comfortable with sharing, being vulnerable and being weak. Because, I mean, I think if you can tell, I'm a pretty big, strong guy. And I take pride in that. It's something I started at 12, 13 years old. I realized, like, oh, I cannot play basketball. I cannot hit a ball. I got two left feet. But, oh, pick this thing up and put it back down. This is easy. I can do this sport. And so my whole life, I do nothing but make myself strong, mentally, physically, whatever it takes. I'm very hard on myself. I don't like weakness. And this past week, I found myself in such a desperate place that I just knew I had to get away. So I took a retreat. I spent time in the creek, just laid on a rock for about 2 days. Just laid on a rock, like if I was part of the rock. And I hear this message during the week during that time. And Chris and your pastor is asking for my scripture verse and a title for the title. And so I send 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7. And then while I'm here, I hear it. And so that's confirmation to me because I was struggling. I was struggling because I felt it's a very challenging message. I think it goes against a little bit of what we've all been taught that Paul is saying. You know, in 1 Corinthians, it's a letter to the church of Corinth. And they're struggling. They're struggling with their newfound heavenly attributes that are coming. And if we go way before 12 and 13, we'll find a lot of their struggles. I mean, to the point, Paul's saying, don't you know we're going to judge the whole world? And yet you can't judge little matters between yourselves? So this church is struggling. And by chapter 13, he has to tell them love is the key. Love is patient. Love is kind. But I think when we take it out of context, I think it also offers a doorway for passivity to be allowed. And passivity is the door that allows sin to be created. And so God told me very loud, Joe, you need to tell the church that taken out of context, they're calling my son a sinner. Because Jesus Christ, in John 2, makes a whip. And he throws out the money changers. And the disciples say, he will have a passion for his father's house. Folks, that doesn't look too patient and kind. I mean, does it? I know Paul is not saying Jesus is a sinner. I don't think he would dare. I preached the message at the beginning of this year about the lion and the lamb. How Jesus was both the lion and the lamb. And you know, we all have our favorite movies, and if we look in our favorite movies, there's parts that we just can't wait to get to if we're watching that movie again. And me? Boy, do I love the part where Jesus is cracking the whip. I mean, that's my favorite part of the movie. I want to, like, press rewind, watch it again, press rewind, go get some more popcorn, press rewind. So obviously, I struggle with the lamb side. It's been a struggle of mine. At times, it still is. But yet, to represent, as we're supposed to be representatives of Jesus Christ, we must carefully understand that if we don't present the lion and the lamb equally, that we are starting to misrepresent the gospel. And people are either getting a watered-down version, a distorted version of what Jesus Christ did for me and you on that cross. Now, I want to share how this looks. So, we have groups of people who, once they start just preaching a little bit too much of the lying side, and lying, 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 over the course of many years, that can become a church, a body of Christ that, have really veered off. Or if we preach too much of the lamb side, we could become powerless. Any audio people here? Passive speaker, active speaker? An active and powered speaker are synonymous. They both mean that they're crossover. There's some, I don't act like I know everything. This is out of my realm. I had to look it up and try to understand it as much as possible. But there's no power to it. It doesn't have power. A passive speaker and an active one. Oh. We're called to have power. We're not called to be passive. Now, this is not a license. This is not a license to all of a sudden always want to crack the whip. Let's slow down. Some of you are getting like, oh yes, I knew it. I knew it. Here's my chance. Oh. Not saying that neither. I'm saying that this is a challenge in how we've been going about things in our lives. That in order to take a stand for Jesus Christ, there's times where we might have to have a difficult conversation. There's times where we might have to make sure somebody understands that we do not agree with that. Now you might say, but you know, that's not really my calling. I understand that. I definitely have been called to have difficult conversations in love. And I would say, and support those who have been called to have difficult conversations. You know, I work with youth, as you know, I've already mentioned that. And I'll have the unfortunate task sometimes to share with the young lady that the way she's dressed is not appropriate. This is supposed to be a youth center. The rules that and how you're supposed to dress in school apply here. Now you'd be surprised how many young girls have told me, no one has ever told me that before. You are the first. But yet, I have heard so many people in the comfort of their homes or in the comfort of a conversation share how bad that is, how messed up it is to see young ladies not knowing how to cover themselves up. So, we do know about it. But yet, we're not engaging. People need to know what we stand for. You never know the life you're saving. You never know the life you're changing. You never know the tiny course that you're helping God intervene in that person. You know, I asked the Lord, well, is there more then? Is there another instance in this love chapter, because it's called a love chapter, that you can show me where your Lord is doing something very contradictory to this love chapter? In John 6, starts around 40, ends in 51, Jesus Christ is talking about, I am the bread of life. Guys, we know the story. See, we know the end. So we don't question this as much. We're like the people who got to the end of the story right before reading the whole story. Just to get to the ending. That's where we're at. But think about the people he's speaking to. Boy, does that sound pretty boastful. I mean, think if you're sitting there, you haven't seen that he's rose. You haven't seen. We know the end of the story. How many of us, when we've been a little proud, claim that we are good in an area, we can be called depending on our listeners. I wonder how many people felt Jesus was a little bit boastful, a little bit arrogant, while he's claiming that he knows the last day. You know, in 51, he comes out and says, "You must eat of my flesh." He says this to a people who, this is blasphemy. I mean, to tell me today, I'm not eating nobody's flesh. You know, if you know all of my beliefs, and you know what I stand for, and you know that there's a roadblock in what you're about to say to me, and you say it anyway, I'm going to think you're pretty rude. Jesus Christ is pretty rude with knowing that this statement that he is about to say is going to end the party. Church grew, church died. Is this a license to be rude? No, I'm not saying that neither. But are we hiding truth? Are we backing down from sharing truth when truth needs to be shared? Because we've been misinterpreting. We've been taking out of context the love chapter. I believe we have. I believe the love chapter has been taken so out of context that it has rendered us powerless. We should be full of power. You know, one of the interesting things I think about today and what this ends up looking like is that we're more worried about crossing our T's and dotting our I's and making sure we never make a mistake, that we're so focused on that we're not focused on God's looking for passion. He's looking for passionate people that will bring down his fire. I mean, Elijah's making fun of them. He's making fun of them. And then we skip over Paul's conversion, and we forget something very important. Paul is killing Christians. He was executing them. He was sending the order. Paul was a man determined to get as close to God as he could, and he thought that that was the way. He was so passionate about it. That's what God's looking for. He'll set you on the right track. He'll show you where some of your passion is persecuting Him. You know, another story that really comes to mind is like, how bad do we want what God says is ours? Man, when God tells me something is mine, let me tell you, there's nothing that's going to stop me. I'm coming to get it. I don't care who's in the way. I don't care what's in the way. I'm coming to get it. Hallelujah. I'm coming to get it. It's mine. He said it's mine. I'm coming to get it. I'm going to make mistakes along the way of coming to get that thing. I know I am. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for who He has called for His purpose. And when I've been called for His purpose, He'll fix it. Even when I make mistakes. Hello, I believe that He's God. He's able to fix the mistakes that I make when I'm passionately following Him and wanting what He has for me. He's big enough to fix my mistakes. Sorry, I don't know if you're used to that. I get a little passionate about these things sometimes. Some people go, why is he always yelling? Why are you not? You know, Joseph has a vision. I can't imagine what that must have been like, but I've had my moments of getting visions. And he gets so proud because his daddy, Father in heaven, has just showed him some pretty amazing stuff. He's become so boastful about it that we know the story. His brothers hate him so much, they throw him in a pit. That pit leads to being a slave, ending up in the house of Potiphar. Then sent to jail, and then becoming the prince of Egypt. How do you think that happens, folks? By putting your money where your mouth is. Joseph was willing to put that vision into words and claim it. I'd rather be a Joseph thrown in a hole. I'd rather be the Joseph taken to jail to end up where God has and what He has for me. That's not as scary. The jail, the hole, that's just part of you claiming what God has for you. And you will have to go through some trials and some refinement. But God can't use us if we are not bold enough that when He shows us something, that we don't start sharing it. Because then there's nobody to throw Joseph in the hole. I want to be thrown in the hole. I bet you some of you want to be thrown in the hole too. Thank you today. Well, I did think about, like, I don't know the culture of this church. For all I know, this message has been preached to you last Sunday. I don't know. Some of you might be there and you're feeling like you're preaching to the choir, brother. Well then, let's take it to our families. Let's take it to our jobs. Because I believe messages like this is just not meant for just one church, but it's meant for all of us. We're always looking for people to come and help these kids hear things for the first time. I think it's sad to think that the youth are so messed up. I think they're doing just fine when there's no one telling them where the limits are. There's not a whole lot of youth that are telling me that people are telling them where the boundary is, where the line is. Well, then I think they're doing just fine. If nobody's telling them where the line is, nobody's telling them important things. I welcome you to Community Central. I promise you I won't preach to you when you come. Like I said, September 17th is our opening day, grand opening. I'm excited about it. We have full basketball court. Well, maybe it's a little chopped down than full size, but it's very nice. And we have a full workout area. That's one of my passions. If there's an exercise that you can't find, it's because you don't know what you're doing, and I'll help you. Because there's every exercise available with weights. I got some CrossFit stuff, powerlifting stuff, bodybuilding stuff, a lot of conditioning. And that's a passion of mine. It's definitely looking for people to come out free, you know. I think exercise is a very important part of our mental health, our physical well-being. That leads to more happy days, leads to us feeling having more energy. And it's something that I know is tangible. You know, a lot of people have never had the success in school. School's kind of hard for them. Or they're not successful with friends. Or whatever the case may be. But when you show a person that today you lifted up 10 pounds, next week you lifted up 15 pounds, they start realizing little accomplishments. And those little accomplishments might not seem like a lot, but they start transferring over into other areas of their life where they finally feel like, hey, I can do things that I thought I couldn't do before. And we all have different areas that we find those avenues that gives us that says that to us. So, I thank you for your time. Thank you for having me, and I really appreciate it.